Hello and welcome back to the Esports Startup Podcast. My name is Johnny Hockey. I'm the content manager at Esports One, and I'm joined by Jordan O'Hara.
Hey guys, how's it going? I'm Jordan O'Hara, product manager and slash product owner slash marketing at Esports One.
Slash Esports One veteran, been here since the early days. So, yep. OG crew, I think you were on like the first probably 8 to 10 episodes.
And then yeah, I was on the first several when we started, and then now that's become your baby.
Yeah, Jordan got too busy to help me out, so basically he pushed this all on me. I'm just joking. I love doing the podcast. It's been a really good experience. We get to talk to a lot of interesting people, both inside from our company and also from outside, you know, founders, investors.
You're also much better at editing than I am, TBH.
Honestly, I think that's why they gave it to me, because I'm just because of the editing factor, not because I sound good. All right, so today is actually an interesting one. This is something that's pretty close to what I work on a regular basis. Prior to me doing a lot of the content, Jordan was in charge of that. He had a really good mind for product, and that's why he's kind of moved over. And I was interested in getting more into the content and marketing side of the company. So we did a kind of a bit of a shift. The traditional startup thing where you jump around, you move around.
Many hats.
Yeah, you get to flex your skills in a lot of different roles. But today we're going to talk about our top five social platforms. So these are the platforms that we use and we recommend. We're basically going to go through, talk a little bit about the functionality and how it can be used in an esports startup. And then we'll talk about how we actually use them. Everyone has a slightly different angle on what they think the top five is. And this one is going to be from our point of view, but I think it does translate pretty well to a lot of startups out there.
Yeah, it's ranked from kind of our experience with the platforms and how we use them. But in general, I think many of these will be in most people's top fives.
All right. So, Jordan, you want to run through the list?
Yeah. So our top five social platforms are number one, Twitter, 2, Facebook, 3, LinkedIn, 4. And I know some of you are going to yell at us because this isn't technically a social media platform, but Discord, it's a community platform. It's close enough. We'll get into that more later. And 5, Instagram.
Yeah, you'll notice we also left out YouTube and Twitch for similar reasons. We don't really find them social media platforms. They are content platforms and they can be really useful. They are really time intensive and you need to really commit to doing like projects, like constant content on YouTube. Twitch, you need to be streaming a lot. So for us, they're high value, but they're really high effort. And we didn't really feel like that. We'll drift over to a lot of esports startups. There'll be definitely companies that will want to use it. But for the most part, we want just to focus on the social media platforms that really kind of help you out from the start. So what we're going to do is Jordan will run through the functionality now, and then I'll basically talk about how we will apply it to esports one. So we'll start with Twitter.
So yeah, Twitter, obviously that's number one on our list. It's been a big platform for us as a company. I think we're sitting at around 19,000 something.
Yeah, it's about 19,150.
Okay. All right. I knew it was 19,1 something. But yeah, so, you know, it's been a good platform for us. If you're an esports or gaming company in general, but specifically startup, you probably should be on Twitter. It's all the professional esports teams and players and organizations are all on Twitter. Any support staff that work at the organizations are on Twitter. People that work at game developers, they're all on Twitter. Like the gaming community is on Twitter. It's where they're having conversations. And so you should definitely be on that platform and be a part of that conversation.
Yeah. So for us, it's been awesome. As Jordan said, like we use it in basically two different ways. One for content and promotion, and secondary for outreach to teams and also to our fan base. In terms of content, we tend to focus on graphic content. It's easier for us to display statistical analysis on an image rather than like video content. It becomes harder to explain and takes longer to create. And for us, we want to be able to put out a lot of content. So video tends to be a little bit of more time consuming. You need a little bit more resources. And for what we're doing with stats, you need people to really read and absorb it. And so for Twitter, we will focus more on creating graphics, data visualization, you know, celebrating huge feats within the esports space. And it's been great. We get a lot of engagement. We get a lot of people sharing, a lot of high value
engagement.
Yeah, for sure. Like, you know, we get players and teams always like liking or sharing our posts, which is good.
And it is very interesting how that's become a like that just kind of happens on a fairly, you know, at least semi-regular basis now, whereas back when I was doing, you know, running social media more towards the beginning, like whenever we got that, you know, one like or retweet from a pro player or coach or something like that, it was like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. And now it's like, okay, this just kind of happens.
Yeah, you know, get to kind of look through the list and see all these like verified accounts. And it just like, we've kind of, as we've gone and like from basically when Jordan to I've taken over, we've done all these like tests along the way, and we've got better and better at using the platform and understanding, you know, how the algorithm works. You know, what's, you know, how we should be tagging the account, the posts, you know, what hashtags we should use, you know, which accounts or which players people really respond well to. Obviously, players like Faker, Double Lift, they get really high engagement. Smaller region players get less. But what we can do is we can incorporate stats from a smaller region with a larger region, so we can spread the love around a little bit, and then you're not excluding anyone. So for us, it's really important that we, you know, our stats aren't just focused on North America, even though we're a North American company. We really want to like show the world, like, you know, that this, we're experts, and we're experts doesn't matter what region you're in. So yeah, for us, it's been really good. A lot of outreach. We've done some content partnerships. We did a content partnership with a streamer called Raken during the launch of TFT. Really popular Brazilian streamer. We basically worked with him to create a graphical image on like his strategy and, you know, what items he builds. So that was really fun.
Yeah.
We've also have an ongoing Clutch partnership with now Dignitas. So we basically provide them with stats and image. They'll post it on their account, and then we'll get kickback from like likes and follows because we're tagged into it. We have our logo on the image. And so for us, like, doing those kind of partnerships are always really high value. We get a lot of followers and a lot of further engagement into our actual posts as well. But yeah, it's been really successful. I think Twitter we've really nailed, and I think it's awesome because it is a very valuable platform for esports.
Yeah. It's all about, if you're new to Twitter, just, you know, deciding to get started on the platform, it takes a little while for it. It really is a kind of momentum based system, it feels like, and it takes a little while to build up that initial momentum. You have to do some experimenting to figure out what types of content work for you. Like who are your followers? Like, what do they care about seeing from you? And then kind of doubling down on that content. Also, like, you got to figure out when is your audience online, like the best times of day to post.
Oh, yeah,
and
true.
like Johnny referenced earlier, like tagging accounts, like you don't want to spammily tag accounts, but if you're tagging accounts that are like directly related to what you're posting, then that's a kind of cue to the Twitter algorithm to share that out to some of the people that follow those accounts you tagged. And so there's lots of like little nuances to get about the platform, and it takes a little while to kind of get in the algorithm's good graces. But once you start getting there, it feels really nice. You're like, oh.
Yeah, it's not like, the good thing about Twitter that I think other platforms don't have as much is you can post pure, like, a tweet that just has, you know, text in it. As long as it's relevant and as long as it's engaging. There's also got like features like polls, moments, you can either... if you have a smaller content team, moments are nice because you say, for example, for Worlds, moments collect a whole lot of different, you can collect a whole lot of different tweets from different players and teams and organizations and news sources, compile it into one tweet. So you've kind of become a resource. And so there's a few things you can do. We use it because we use it to summarize the week. So we'll share our like stats posts throughout the week, and then basically do kind of like a summary at the end. And so you can come review, if you happen to just go on Twitter like once a week, you can just kind of get an all-encompassing story of like what stats and analytics we've done for that week. But yeah, it's a good platform, requires a little bit of work at the start to find out what works, but it's definitely valuable. It's been huge for us. So we'll move on to our number two, which is Facebook.
All right, Facebook. Facebook is a mixed one for me. It definitely deserves its number two ranking on this list, but I am becoming older and older, I'm realizing, and I can look back at the earlier days of Facebook and be like, man, it was great when a post on my Facebook page went out to like 40% of the people that liked my page naturally. That was pretty awesome. Now it goes out to like, you make a post on your Facebook page, it goes out to like 1% maybe of the people that like your page. Maybe it might even be less than that at this point. So it's been very soul wrenching to see that happen over time, but that's just kind of the nature of the beast when it comes to social media platforms. Big thing I will say about platforms like Facebook that are, because you have Twitter, which has like kind of these cool features, like Johnny mentioned, like Moments and all these other, and these other things. But I, at least personally, I don't feel like they're constantly like launching a bunch of new features and testing them and whatnot. Facebook, like, they launch new features a decent bit. You know, they've launched groups. They've launched a bunch of different interesting post types you can do specifically within groups. They obviously launched live videos. After live videos, they launched watch parties. There's so much.
Yeah,
it's a little overwhelming. Like they've launched a lot of things. The stories, so like on these sorts of platforms where they're innovating a little more rapidly and trying out new features and stuff like that, one thing that I tend to notice that is helpful to keep in mind is like, as a company, Facebook is incentivized when they launch a new product feature to try and get people to use that product feature. So if that product feature is stories, which is a way for you to expose content to people, they're probably going to expose that content to like a lot of people compared to some of the other things on their platform, because they know people want to get their content, their posts seen by as many people as possible. New feature, they're going to show it to a lot of people to try and get you using it. So when you see new features launch, at the very least, look at them and kind of evaluate if there's a way you can start working them into your strategy or experiment with them.
Yeah, it's... Facebook might be a surprise that it ended up so high on our list. There is a lot of features. It's a pretty established platform. For us, the reason why we also put it high is because it's a low effort one for us. And I think that's something really important to mention. We are able to use a lot of the content we produce for other platforms and put it into Facebook, because Facebook allows you to have like a real mix, and providing that, you know, the content is interesting. We don't just dump everything on there. We just pick the interesting stuff. It's become a really low maintenance, and there's like a pretty stable growth. Twitter, I feel like you don't really grow unless you're posting a ton. Yeah. Facebook, you know, it kind of acts as like a secondary web page in a lot of ways, the secondary landing page for your company. So it's good just to have your information up there, and then to have, you know, a few posts a week. If you don't have the time to spend on it, if you have the time to try the features, they do have a ton, and it really does help the growth of your content. But for us, it's an easy platform to use that has a pretty good response, I would say.
Yeah, and plus, aside from like Instagram, which is owned by Facebook.
Yeah.
It's easily the best social platform to advertise on, which is another reason to me it's up there.
And that's an important thing to mention. Some of the other platforms, the way you advertise through isn't as targeted, and it's harder to find the exact demographic that you're really focusing on. Facebook does do a really good job at pushing your advertisements and being able to like target the exact people you want. So that, again, that was a big reason why we moved it up so high on the list. All right, three. What do we got? Three. I've actually forgotten.
LinkedIn, baby.
LinkedIn. That's it.
Gosh, all right, so LinkedIn. This one, in my head, is probably going to be one of the bigger surprises, because people oftentimes kind of just think of LinkedIn as a professional business connections platform and a place to get like recruited by companies or something, which is what it was built for largely. But over the last, if I had to hazard a guess, I'd say 6 months to a year, LinkedIn has started making changes for the LinkedIn started making changes and kind of trying to move towards being also a content platform like some of these other social media platforms. Like they recently added in, like, instead of just liking a post similar to Facebook, you can celebrate a post, you can say that was curious, and or you can just like it, you know.
They added the emotions to react
reacting, yeah. And then there's like, you can go live on LinkedIn now. And really, it feels to me kind of like, again, I was talking about old days of Facebook where you make a post and your post is exposed to a lot of people. Naturally, the LinkedIn algorithm currently is probably the closest social media platform to old school Facebook, where you make a post and it has like a chance to be seen by a lot of people. Yeah, it's like, we don't put a ton of effort into upkeep of our LinkedIn company page, but that is very consistently growing. Like we, yeah. Again, kind of like Johnny was saying with Facebook, our LinkedIn isn't a huge focus for us for content, but it's kind of a place that we will recycle appropriate content to, a few times a week, as often as we can. And you see, we're seeing consistent growth on our company page, lots of engagement. We also personally, as employees, share updates and kind of posts about the company, or about our work. And those tend to receive, I mean, Akash, especially Matt's, our CEO's, like his personal LinkedIn posts get some insane engagement.
Yeah, you should check it out. It really is insane.
Yeah, Matthew got it on LinkedIn. Just some of his posts.
No, I agree with Jordan. It is, for us, it's a pretty easy to use platform with really high results. It also creates a place, because we kind of decided a while back, as a stats analytics company, we wanted to keep our Twitter focused on the stats side. We wanted to build a fan base around what we are experts in. So we decided not to put like team content, say if someone's speaking at an event, that kind of stuff. We didn't really want to include that into Twitter. So that's why LinkedIn becomes a really good platform to share, accomplishments as a team, what we're working on behind the scene, celebrating your employees, celebrating big milestones in the company, things that maybe, your Twitter fans that are after stats information might not be interested in, but, investors, other startups, non-endemics looking to get into the space, things that those groups would be interested in. And that's kind of seeing inside how your company works, what's the culture like. And for us, that's what we use LinkedIn for. And I mean, we don't go live on it, really. It's not our kind
use
of
case.
Yeah, but there is a lot of applications you can use. And I think it's really important that your employees within the company, especially the founder, because you will get a lot of outreach, but the employees, it's important because they become access points for people to reach out to your company, and then they can refer it. And so for us, it's been really good for outreach. We've created a lot of partnerships through. They've been invited to events, reached out early days, said, can we speak at your event? We get podcast guests, we'll get through LinkedIn. If you feel free to add Jordan O'Hara or Johnny Hockey. And we're always open for conversations. Yeah. I think that's a really good platform to reach out to us directly. So that's LinkedIn, definitely important to have. Discord, maybe the one that's not quite a social media platform, right, but we included it in there.
Hmm. Yeah, so Discord, as Johnny aptly mentioned, not a social media platform. but it's like, I guess there are arguments that could be made, but we won't get into that today. At the very least, you can add friends. That's kind of socially. Anyways, Discord, if you are unfamiliar, since many of you listening are esports professionals, I would hope you know about it. But those of you that are not, that are just maybe business professionals, you're probably familiar with a piece of software called Slack that you might use for your internal company communication or something like that. Maybe you're in a Slack server I've seen mentorship groups or, startup communities on Slack. We have our own startup community on Slack. You can find a link to that in the show notes. Discord is basically like Slack for gamers. It's basically a place for your online community to live. There's this concept within a server. So you as a company, you as a brand would create a Discord server. Within that server, you would create channels. There are two types of channels, largely one that people can type in, and it's a large kind of group chat back and forth. You can send images, videos, whatever you want in there. There are also voice channels, so people can, just with a click of a button, jump into a voice chat with each other. You can also message and call users directly on Discord, and lots of other cool pieces. So basically, it is a it's a place for your community to come and live online and for you to be able to instantly communicate with them through chat, through voice. Some people use it for customer support. That's a use case that we have internally. We also just use it as, like we said, a place for our community to live. We'll play games in there with the community. We'll chat with the community. We'll share updates and just kind of enjoy being a gamer with our gamer fans.
Yeah, we've our Discord's predominantly based around our Esports One and Esportspedia communities. Mm-hmm. And we have like a lot of active contributors that will contribute to our Esportspedia wiki. Also, we'll have managers. And so it's a place that they can all, we can easily add them, remove them, give them roles. It's managing like a lot of people, it becomes a really easy tool.
Yeah.
Slack's very, it's a bit more select with who you would let into a channel.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about permissions and kind of keeping them all like internal. Whereas Discord like creates a great community platform. A lot of the teams will have their own Discords. Mm-hmm. You can see when the players are online or, you know, the team's social media. And so it kind of creates another access point for your team and also helps organize like kind of events. So say if we do like a game time in our company, usually on a Friday, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and the whole team will just jump onto Discord because it's a really easy to use platform. And you can have like, you know, tons of people in a voice channel. Sometimes it gets a bit crazy if you have too many mm-hmm. people, obviously, if it's a call and everyone's trying to talk, but it has been really good, and it's awesome for our esports PD community. I think if you've got a B2C company in esports, I would say it's a must. B2B is definitely optional. You know, normally you might just use Slack because it's more of an internal thing, but definitely the B2C, like Discord, is a must.
Yeah, if you're building a community in the gaming community,
it's all about
you probably want to be on Discord.
Yeah, no, it's 100%. All right, so number five, the gram.
The Insta.
Would you consider yourself an influencer, an Insta influencer?
Oh, absolutely. I've got my bots running. No. Yeah, Instagram is interesting. I just actually saw a side note I saw this morning that apparently I think they're about to take the hiding like count on Instagram global.
Yeah, they actually had it in Australia.
Yeah, I think they were testing it.
I liked it a lot. I think it kind of puts the emphasis back on just having
on the content.
Yeah, on a good image. Like, you know, so many times people see like, you know, thousands of likes, and it's kind of that like, you know, pack mentality, that sheep mentality of just like following. And I've done the same thing. Yep. I've flicked through a feed on my personal Instagram and just like liked a photo, and I'm like, I didn't even look at the photo. I just saw the likes. And so I think I'm a sucker in that. And so there's must be a lot of people doing it too.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And so I think, it kind of puts the emphasis back on having to make good content rather than just having like a straight popularity contest.
That is interesting. I'm very, very curious to see how that plays out. Because I know exactly what you mean, because I've done exactly what you're talking about too. But
it's hard for like, you know, new people to come in, right? If you're a new account and you only have a certain amount of followers and you get five likes, people might feel weird liking it. You know, mm-hmm. there's that kind of like disconnect. You know, I don't want to be one of the six people.
Can I see how many likes my posts are getting?
I think what it does is, and I'm pretty sure when I was in Australia last, you can see if people that you also follow have liked the account. So it might say, you know, like Jordan's liked it, Matt's liked it, but it might only show three or four people, even if there's like millions. But you can also, I think there's an ability to click in to see the actual likes, but it's like, it's an extra step.
You have to click in through it.
Yeah, and which most people aren't going to bother. Like at that point, like why are you clicking to see how many likes this has got, unless you're like really trying to research into it. But, I liked it a lot. I think it creates a more authentic platform. I think they kind of, it became very commercial, influencer focused, meme focused.
Oh yeah, like, the moment companies realized that they could just do influencer marketing through Instagram, the platform just started dying a slow death, I feel like.
Yeah, I think like that's the thing. It kind of got removed from the people, and it kind of what happened with Facebook, right?
Yeah.
Everything kind of got pushed towards businesses, which is fine. And we obviously like that being a business, but you know, you need to be able to keep hold of the user base, you know, to keep it authentic, because otherwise, you know, if you start to use your losers, you start to lose all the losers. All right, let me get that out. If you start to lose all the users, you know, what's the point for businesses anyway at that point?
Yeah.
And so I think like that's why it's kind of smart to kind of keep it authentic.
So we did get a little sidetracked there. Just with the whole like count thing.
Oh yeah. It's interesting.
Which is cool. Like hopefully that broke some news for you guys, but you know, we'll see. But other than that, Instagram's cool. It's a very visual platform. You're posting images or videos largely. Also either as posts on your page or as stories. There's fun little interactive things you can post on your, like widgets you can, or apps you can add to your stories to like drive engagement. So it's a very visual platform. For us, as Johnny mentioned earlier, our content tends to revolve around like data visualization and stats and kind of telling, creating like highlighting interesting storylines in competitive gaming through stats and data. And some of that translates pretty well to Instagram visual.
Yeah, we have to usually condense it slightly. Like, you know, if we have like a quite complex graphic, that's probably not going to play out. But like Jordan said, you know, we're still able to show the stats. Just we have to kind of simplify it down to make it a little bit more kind of image friendly, I guess, like simpler, because people do really flick through Instagram.
Yeah, they're scrolling real fast. So they might not pause to take the time to ingest, you know, a graph with a bunch of data points on it, but maybe they'll stop if they see a picture of a player with two data points or something, you know?
Yeah, I think Instagram is a really good platform, but I feel like you really need to spend the time on it.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those platforms that, unlike Twitter, where the posting's a lot more simple, you know, you can get away just posting text. Instagram, because it's so image focused, video focused, the amount of effort you put into your content is quite a lot. You know, it's easy saying, oh, I'm gonna, you know, upload stories every day, 5 stories a day, 6 stories a day, but that gets very tiring, keeping the content fresh, not showing repeat stuff, you know. And then if you look at like a lot of people's stories, they end up just like posting memes because like space filler. So it's like, you know, you've got to kind of weigh up, is the audience that you are after on Instagram? And I think that, you know, stands for all these platforms, you know, is your target, or is that going to reach your target audience? And I think, you know, if you're B2C, yep, Instagram's important. I think businesses that are B2B, probably a lot less important. Definitely you can have a presence on there and you can share some stuff. We use it as kind of like a landing page, but we don't put a lot of emphasis in it because it does really favor, you know, Instagram TV and stories, and the kind of the way that esports is at the moment, it's so heavily on Twitter that we really do want to focus on Twitter, and through Twitter we can kind of use content for Facebook, but to use it for Instagram, it takes a little bit of work to kind of readjust it, and you know, we don't feel it's as strong for us at this point because of the effort required, but it definitely can be rewarding.
But for instance, if you're an esports apparel company or something like that, you know, Instagram probably perfect for you, because there's lots of content you can do around people wearing your merchandise and like very lifestyle kind of, you know, sort of pictures of people and your merch. And so like it depends on who you are, but definitely could be a great platform.
Yeah, exactly. It's like what your content is, like, you know, a talent agency, you know, showing off who you represent. That's great. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're like you just want to like set up tournaments, or, you know, you're a college page, and you can send like, Instagram's very people focused.
Yeah.
And so I think that's, for us, we're big on the stats. It's not as the right audience really isn't on Instagram for us at this point. But as we build out new products that are more kind of for the mainstream and for people coming into esports, we'll definitely put another focus on that. So that's our list. You happy with that?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think most of these, you know, they can maybe shift one or two positions, but I think for the most part, this is a pretty generic list for most esports startups.
Yeah, I agree.
That want to get into the space. To finish up, since we mentioned Discord at number 4, we have actually put a lot of focus on Discord currently, because we've actually built out a Discord bot. And John, you want to kind of explain what a Discord bot is and what ours does? Because some people might not be aware of it.
Yeah, sure. So a bot, bots are chatbots are becoming a more and more common thing just across the board these days. You can get, you can engage with chatbots through Facebook Messenger. I don't know if you knew that, but there's a bunch of chatbots you can get, and some might be like, you know, I might, connect to a chatbot in Facebook Messenger, for example, that is for like TechCrunch or something like that. And now whenever TechCrunch posts a new article, I get like an update in, directly in my Facebook Messenger. So it's like a real-time chat-based touch point between you and your user base or your fan base or whatever. And that's regardless of platform. So Facebook Messenger is chatbots, Discord is chatbots, Slack has chatbots, they're everywhere. Discord chatbots are interesting. It largely works on a command basis. So people, a Discord bot is basically just another user. You can invite to a Discord server, and once it's in a server, it'll be listening for the people in that server to run commands that it knows how to respond to. So for instance, with ours, which is one bot, you can find information on professional esports teams and players directly in Discord. So instead of, you know, you're realizing, oh, I want to look up something about Bjergsen on TSM, instead of alt-tabbing out of Discord, opening up a new tab in your browser, you know, going to a website and then clicking through to Bjergsen's page, you can run a short, like, maybe 8-character query in chat, command in chat, and one bot will send you all of this information on Bjergsen, and then you can click through in that message to see more information if you want to. You can find information on pro teams. You can find upcoming esports events that you can watch, like for a bunch of different game titles, League of Legends, Counter-Strike, Dota, etc. And that's largely what we launched with initially a few months ago. At this point, when we launched one bot, it was an informational resource for esports fans in Discord. The idea was you should be able to find the information you care about in esports without having to leave Discord, because that's a platform where gamers are already. And, excuse me, we thought that was pretty cool initially. Still think it's pretty cool, but we wanted to build also some more engaging features on top of that for the community, more than just like, hey, I want to find this information, give me this information. And so what we did leading up to the League of Legends World Championship, which just ended this past weekend, we built a prediction competition, which I was, it just ended, you know, because Worlds just ended, but I'm still super hype about it, because basically what you could do is we made it so that Discord servers could compete against other Discord servers around the world, predicting who will win matches at the World Championship. So about 12 hours before every match was scheduled to start at Worlds, one bot would automatically send a message to each Discord server that had set up to participate. And it'd be like, hey, this team is about to play against this team. Who do you guys think is going to win? And then everyone, you know, every single person in that Discord server could vote for who they thought was going to win that upcoming match. And then, like, when the match was over, one bot would let them know if they got the prediction correct or not, show them how many points they earned, they would climb a leaderboard. And we had a big prize for, you know, the server that ran, and a couple random server draw prizes as well. So that was so cool. I think a cool stat is that there were almost 18,000 individual prediction votes cast throughout the competition, which was pretty insane. Like 18,000 people voted, or votes were cast 18,000 times, for, you know, who people thought would win matches. So that's where we are today with OneBot. It's a informational resource for esports in Discord, and we ran this large prediction competition. We got almost a thousand servers, like 970 something servers so participating close. By the time it ended, which was really great. And we're now working on our next feature, which is going to be launching a web dashboard, and in that web dashboard, you'll be able to follow professional esports teams and players in League of Legends, and automatically receive updates about them in Discord. And that's, I know I've kind of talked about OneBot a lot, but one thing that's very interesting to me is like most chatbots run like kind of back and forth. Like you say you want something from the chatbot, it gives it to you. You run a command, it gives a response or something like that. And we're kind of trying to not break that model by any means, but like move past that model a bit and like let users say, I want to get this information, and then we automatically go out and find it for them and provide it to them like automatically.
Yeah, I think what Jordan has done an excellent job at like managing that team and building out a product that the audience and the esports community actually wants. I think that's the challenge, right? Like building something that's useful, and one bot like hits a nail on the head. And looking at the features that are on the roadmap, it's insane. So you should definitely check it out. It is worth it. If you've got a Discord server, throw it on there. We're happy to chat. If you've got any questions about like developing a bot for Discord, or you know what is a bot, feel free to reach out to Jordan.
Yep.
We'll kind of wrap it up there. Hope you enjoyed this episode. We'll keep our lines open. If you want to chat about any of the platforms or like, you know, ways to utilize it, we're happy to kind of have a chat through what you're building and, you know, how maybe you could utilize those platforms. Big shout out to Daniel Izzo, one of my content mentors from back home in Australia. He's been helping me out on a few projects lately. We've got some cool stuff coming up in the new year, so this is really exciting. Also jump on our Slack channel. You'll have the link on our Anchor or iTunes page, so you can just click there.
Be in the show notes, yep.
But apart from that, thanks so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next week. Boy.
Bye.